Greetings, program. Welcome to Come On. It's still good. I am your undefeated champion, Reagan. And with me, as always, is my brother, Ryan.
Hello there. And joining us is our other brother, Box Office Rob.
Hey.
It's not going to make any sense to anybody ever.
No, it doesn't
matter. Really got to follow the show and try to put those pieces together. I
know. We're also joined by our producer, E.
Game on, good people.
Mirko is G, the only show on the internet where we break down our favorite things from last year and then put a stamp on them. This is our third annual award show. We'll be handing out some awards and sharing some of our favorite watches from 2023. Good people, check out our socials for an extended list from each of the good guys. And right away, let's get to those awards. That's what you guys pay to see.
Do it.
Other award shows, they make you wait for the good shit. They get the technical. Well, we don't do that here. I'm going to give away a big award. Franchise of the year.
Just because we did a fast movie? No, don't even do it.
No?
Okay.
No, relax. Okay. But you might want to give it to the saga.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
You might want to give it to Star Wars. You might want to give it to Marvel, DC, whatever. None of them won because this year's franchise of the year was, of course, Star Trek.
The line must be drawn here.
Which put out three great seasons of television this year with Picard, Strange New Worlds, and season four of Lower Decks. Franchise of the year. Congratulations. It was great. They landed Picard, and that was no small feat. I don't think they get enough credit for turning that show around. So I look forward to seeing what Star Trek's going to do early in 2024 with the final season of Discovery. That's I'm going to say it's going to be hard for Star Trek to repeat.
Especially with Discovery as the subject matter. Yeah, I guess.
Yes, with the final season of Discovery. But I'm all for it. It was a great year for Star Trek. Who would
you
like
put
to
it above? You put it above Star Wars then, huh?
Yes.
So you put it above Obi-Wan, you put it above Ahsoka.
Yeah.
I guess there wasn't that much other Star Wars.
Yeah, there was that. Marvel, it was easy because, Secret War really drug it down.
That's what I was just going to. We could now add another. I was going to jump in with another award and say the biggest franchise cooler on the planet goes to Secret Invasion.
Tell it a chill!
Because, yeah. Boy, that really frosted Marvel down to nothing. I mean, especially on their show stuff. Loki heated it back up a little bit, but you could definitely say that's the cooler of a franchise.
I mean, check out our back catalog if you want to hear four people be disappointed on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
with the show. Hey, and just to watch it get worse and worse and worse.
They need to be in our text chain about Secret Invasion.
I mean, talk about ending with a whimper. Yeah, going out with a whimper and not a bang. But yeah, definitely. Franchise cooler. I know we try to keep it positive, but if we had a... that one would walk out with that Matrix award where it's just an armful of GBs, but they're all thumbs down.
Right.
Bad ones.
Yeah. But hey, they tried. Who would like to give out an award next?
Well, I'd like to give an award just solely based on our back catalog of this year, and that has to go for the best worst font ever used in a movie, and that goes to the Rollerball font, which, as I was perusing through our back catalog,
music.
It's cruising through our back catalog, just trying to remember the things we saw and just see the Rollerball poster. I'm like, oh god, that font's awful. It deserves an award. That it needs to get one again.
I like how you kind of give it out two awards, and they're both go fuck yourselves award.
That's kind of my brand. Come on, let's be honest. That's my brand here.
I know, but we just hyped it up. We're going to give so much positive. You're like, you know who pisses me off? Yeah.
I gave it the best bad font. Best bad font. You gotta take it on that.
That was really funny during that episode when we were going through the IMDb trivia, right? And one of them was, wasn't there some summary of like what the future was like and how everything was run by this one font? Awful font. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much people hate that font. It's something I didn't know all these years watching that movie.
It's pretty disgusting.
The pirate!
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
It's award-winningly bad is what it is. Like
I mean, it did a good job of helping it frame the dystopia.
That's true. I mean, look at that font. Nothing matters. Just go along with everything. It's all crap. Would you like to give out an award?
Sure. I'll give out one that's... let's see. I'll give out the Best Bagel Award. And I know it didn't come out this year, but I finally got around to seeing Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh. I got bored one day. And I put everything on a bagel.
Like, what movie had a bagel in it? But now I get it. Everything Bagel. I got you now. I got you. It was very clever. It was too clever for me for a second. I love a good Everything Bagel.
if we're going to see things that people haven't watched in a while, I believe Reagan gave one on our second annual to Blade Runner 2049, and I finally got around to rewatching that after falling asleep on it the first time I watched it years ago. And man, that's a great movie. So
it's so good, right? It's so good.
We can do that again this year. It'll be like the best rewatch of this year because each one of us has slowly rewatched it and given it a shake.
Brian, when was the last time you watched Blade Runner 2049?
When it came out?
All the way through. I have not watched it since it came out, but I've watched bits and pieces here and there.
Next year, you're going to have to sit down and watch the whole movie.
I never hated it.
I loved it from the start.
I just fell asleep.
Maybe I'll hate it now.
You actively hated it. So, yes.
Yeah, I did. You guys said the first watch, neither of you had ideal situations.
Yeah.
Everything, everywhere, all at once. Great.
All right, E?
All right, I'm gonna do like you and kick things off with a bang as well. My first Koei's GB award goes to the biggest movie I saw in 2023. Literally. Because I went to go see Oppenheimer at the Udvar-Hazy IMAX in the 70mm print, and it was huge.
That's a big Twinkie.
It was incredible. It was amazing. I saw the movie a couple of times in the theater, 3 hours each time. No regrets. Not even a single letter. It was an amazing time. I ended up picking up the score. I listened to that a lot recently. Picked it up in 4K, watched it again at home. I mean, I've been like living and breathing this movie for a little bit. And then I even did that Godzenheimer 2-pack where I saw Oppenheimer at home right before I went to go see Godzilla Minus One. So that double feature was amazing too. Always been a big Christopher Nolan fan. Really liked that he was an Tenet. The last movie that he did, and to me, he's been topping himself. I know a lot of people, you know, see his stock going up and down, but to me, he keeps topping himself, and this one has, yeah, continued that trend for me. I really, really enjoyed it. I don't think that it was overrated. All of the hype and heat that it got, I thought it was the perfect rate, and I thought that it's very much deserving of a look from everybody, even people who aren't necessarily interested in the subject matter. I think you'd be surprised at how entertaining it is, essentially watching a whole bunch of people talk for 3 hours. It surprised me that even on rewatches, it's still that engaging, and it looks incredible and it sounds amazing. But yeah, biggest movie, you know, literally and metaphorically, because it was also a pretty big deal. Not quite Maverick save the box office big, but I mean, the numbers it threw up for a 3 hour long rated R movie with no action, it did some pretty impressive numbers.
When you said biggest movie, I'm really surprised it wasn't Godzilla Plus One.
Oh, same.
It's size matters. That's the one thing Godzilla has taught us since 1999.
I saw that one in ScreenX, so I guess it could get a side award for widest movie. Right? So like Oppenheimer's got his biggest, tallest movie. Godzilla was widest movie.
Right. That makes sense. All right. So for my next award, it's another TV show. You're going to think I didn't watch any movies this year, but it's the Welcome to the Party Award, where I finally sat down and watched Yellow Jackets. And have been screaming at the three of you, you guys need to watch Yellow Jackets.
We're watching it.
You started it?
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a great show. It's a little cannibalism. It's a lot of late 90s music. It's awesome.
Yeah, the soundtrack is good. Yeah.
The soundtrack's awesome. If you... Being of someone who was that age at that time, it really connects with me. And then there's some light eating people. But, you know, you'll get to that part. Watch it immediately. It's great. Brian, your turn.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go with my biggest movie of the year, another small indie feature, which came out this year called, you know, Mission Impossible. The latest in the series that... Is it Dead Reckoning? Am I just messing that up? Okay, I was thinking that was like one of the earlier parts.
That
like
was saying. Did we watch that? No, we watched Fast X.
We watched Fast X before. I don't know if I can give Fast X an award. It wasn't terrible. You'll probably give an award. I can definitely give a Mission Impossible award, because it was, if you're a fan of the series at all, you're going to love it. It's just
I think last year you gave a similar award to that Maverick. Little indie hit Maverick.
Yes, I did. That's why I had to bring it back.
Your annual Tom
Cruise. I think hanging out on the show has started to sink its Tom Cruise Miss Claws into you.
Yes.
It's turning you. You become a real Tom Cruise.
I don't think he has anything for next year that's going to be that big. So I think it's going to have to, my indie pick is going to have to change to some other property.
Is Dead Reckoning Part 2 coming out next year?
I don't think it's next year. I thought it was 25. Yeah. So
yeah.
If it comes out, if it sneaks in under the wire, that could be my indie pick for next year. But for this, it looks like it's going to have to jump to something else. We'll find something. But this one gets the small indie feature award.
All right, Rob.
Okay. I got. Let's see, the best critical miss. Now I'll go to Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, which was just a great movie that not enough people went out and saw.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was bad, and I was like, I actually like that movie.
No,
and
no, the critics thought
yeah, it. Oh, really like critical. It didn't make any money. Like,
none of us left our house to go watch it.
I love that movie.
Yeah. I misunderstood what you were saying. I thought you were saying it was bad, and I was I liked it.
Did anybody here go out and give money to somebody to watch this movie?
No, free streaming. Waited for it to be free streaming and enjoyed it rather
than Paramount Plus.
I saw it in ScreenX. Made a special trip out with a couple of people who I used to play Dungeons & Dragons with. We loved it. We're all sitting there looking around like, why is this theater empty? This is so good. We were shocked. And then we saw the numbers. We're like, oh my God, this thing is bombing. It's not doing anything. But it was like so good.
So good.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons haven't been great, but this one, like when I first saw the trailer, I was like, okay. And I saw a clip of them raising the guy in the graveyard, and I was sold. I was like, oh, I gotta watch this movie. Yeah. So good.
So I watched it multiple times this year, and I've enjoyed it every time. It's great.
I watched the scene where they're breaking in and the wizard guy's doing the illusion of Chris Pine, and then it starts glitching out. I watched that regularly with my kid, and we still crack up. Like, this joke will never die. It's so funny. We pretend to glitch out, and we do the
braid, 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 braid,
every time when he does it, it makes me crack up. When I do it, it makes him crack up, no matter what's going on.
It's your turn.
Okay, this is a weird one. It's not really a movie. It's something that I got into because of a movie. I really enjoyed watching the animated Ninja Turtles, and I used to be a big Ninja Turtles fan. And I realized that I had not read this comic called The Last Ronin, and I just picked it up. I got a nice hardcover. I sat down, I read it, and this is like a multi-step thing. So the way that I did this was I sat down, and while I was reading it, I was listening to the score for the movie that was done by Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. No! And it totally works. It's like a better soundtrack for the comic book, because the comic book takes place in a near future. And if you guys don't know about it, it takes place in like a future alternate version of like the Ninja Turtles continuity. And you see this one Ninja Turtle. He's dressed in all black. He's got a black bandana, a black mask, and he's got a bow staff, a katana, nunchucks, and sai. And he's infiltrating a base. And then it reads like he's talking to his brothers. And then you find out that they're not there. They're all in his head, because he's the last surviving Ninja Turtle. And Master Splinter's dead, hence the last Ronin. Oh. And he's going out trying to, you know, seeking vengeance. And then as you read through, it slowly flashes back, and then you start finding out what happened to the different brothers. And it takes a little bit to even find out which one he is, because he's wearing a black bandana and he's got all of the weapons. So you're not sure which brother is the one that's left. As you find that out and find out what happened to everybody else and how this future happened with the Foot Clan and everything, it was a really, really good read and an awesome way to do it. I started reading it and I was like, oh, I'd probably, you know, give it a chapter tonight, finish it up over the next few days, read the whole thing, and listen to the whole score. I could not put it down. So, not a movie, influenced by a movie, but highly recommend to check it out. And I do believe I've heard rumblings about it becoming a movie. So that's cool. Another thing. So it was a very cool concept. It's from the original creators. Eastman and Laird came back, and it's like the old original comics, where it's super violent, and it's not, you know, the one that we grew up watching in the 90s as a, you know, Saturday or after school cartoon. But yeah, check it out, The Last Ronin.
Well, let's go to a quick little break, and we'll come back. And we'll finish off this award show right after this. Turtle power!
This is not a dream.
Not a dream.
We are using your phone's electrical system as a receiver.
You are receiving this podcast as a dream.
We are transmitting this from the year 2999.
You are receiving this podcast in order to alter the events you are hearing.
You must subscribe, like, and follow in order to avoid a causality violation.
The future needs your help.
Save the podcast. Save the world. End of line.
Break all the fucking mirrors!
Subscribe.
Here's your best picture in front of a whole worldwide audience.
We're back from that break. It's time for more awards because you guys have waited for them all year. So I'll go with another one, and it's my Never a Doubt in My Mind award. And this one goes to The Flash.
Well, time doesn't work like that. That's not how time works.
I knew it was coming out the whole time. Yeah. I had no doubts. I knew it was everything was fine. And I've said it on this podcast for years. Don't worry about
it. Check the tape. Absolutely. Right.
It's also a pretty good movie. You're going to enjoy yourself watching The Flash. Hmm. He puts a baby in a microwave. That's okay.
I'm not sure that's the reason you should go see it. But I mean, it does
Michael
happen.
Keaton as Batman is why you should go see this movie.
I feel like this movie affects us differently because we've got such nostalgia for our Michael Keaton, Bruce Wayne, and Batman. That look, that armor, the Batwing, all of that stuff. Yeah. I gotta agree with you. I was really surprised by how good it was.
I was stunned.
The bar was so low, and I had just assumed it was gonna be awful. But I really enjoyed it and had a really good time as well. I think people were a little too harsh on.
Watching the whole time, I was like, God, I am glad I didn't shit on this for 3 years for 3 years before it came out. I'm glad I was at the tip of the spear. Crack of my ass. I was out there.
I also really like the time travel mechanic in this one, how they explained it and all of that. Because I like it. I like, you know, neat, quirky, interesting, or different time travel mechanics in movies and shows. And this one was good. That's a good one.
Enjoyed it. And at the end of it, kind of sad that the universe is dying.
Yeah, they find it's like they finally are riding the ship and then it's ending.
They fix stuff. But then you got this Aquaman thing out there. And who's that for? I don't know. Ryan, what's your next award?
I want to give out the Equilibrium. Equilibrium.
All right.
I should have given one of these last year, but I didn't think of it. It is like a lifetime. It's the Equilibrium Most Ridiculous Use of Firearm Award. it's a category.
The gun kata treats the gun as a toker weapon.
I should have given one this year. Gun kata with that movie, obviously. But I feel like I should give one out in... because that's so ridiculous to one of each one. And it's got to be, I forgot the name of the movie, Underworld, when she shoots the hole in the floor with her gun.
That's a great escape.
It's the most ridiculous thing. It deserves the Equilibrium Award this year. So they get a little special speech and they stand up. And that wins it out of our catalog this year for sure.
I do like the idea of giving... the Equilibrium Award out for a bananas gun scene.
It's going to be
banana. That might be something that we're going to have.
That's going to be every year for me if I remember. I'm saying it now, but I'll forget next year.
Hopefully our producer's going to put a note here and mark that award out.
Unless you could think of another one, that was the most ridiculous use of a weapon in our back catalog.
I don't watch our movies like that, but now you put that in my brain.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch movies like that.
I don't know if I said it on the episode, but I really want somebody to do like a Mythbusters on that scene and see how long it would actually take shooting.
They did it.
Did they?
I think you said it during show notes. I don't know. Maybe we talked about it.
It takes so many bullets. So long.
Well, she has vampire speed, so she could be using vampire speed to reload.
To do what? Oh, you're saying she reloads. Okay.
It's a lot of clips, though. It's a lot of clips at her feet that you don't see.
I mean, there's runner-ups in there, but that was definitely the worst this time, you know?
It is practically a Looney Tunes moment.
Yes.
Taken out of context, you'd be like, is this a Naked Gun movie?
When that movie came out, it's unreal. Everyone was like, that's fucking cool. That's new. That looks cool. She had a trench coat on, leather.
Yes.
Like, it looked fucking awesome.
Full disclosure, when I went to the movie theater to see it, the first time I saw it, I thought that was cool as shit. I was like, oh my God, that was so cool.
Okay, you're high-fiving the dude next year. Like, you see that shit?
The scene an award, man. I don't know which other ones would be up. It's probably the Commando was a runner-up, like a nominee for the use of the rocket launcher.
Paris of Love rocket launcher.
Yeah, those two. I don't know, but the award definitely has to go to Underworld.
All right, Rob, what's your next award?
Let's see. The best movie cliffhanger / movie I didn't want to end.
I know. right there with you.
Yeah. It would be Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Is that streaming anywhere yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I can't.
Okay. Yeah. I have not seen it yet.
I mean, it was part of that Netflix deal with Sony, so Netflix gets the first look at the streaming, I believe,
Oh, then I got to go check that out. I have not seen it yet.
So, well, prepare yourselves.
Yeah.
Apparently,
It just ends.
It's worse than Dom having, like, the fire come at him. Yeah. Like, Fast X ended on a great cliffhanger. Where you can't wait to get to F11 or whatever.
Great.
I mean, real quick, the best 10th installment of a franchise this year was Fast X.
I'll
throw that award out real quick. Just a big, I mean, name a better one, Ryan. Name a better 10th movie that came out this year.
This year? I bet there's one out there that I could find if I did a real quick bing. Probably not. No. I mean, MI comes close, but it was not 10th. It was not 10th. Yeah.
I think we all do have to admit it was pretty cool in ScreenX.
ScreenX is a cool thing for the
right. Welcome to our ScreenX podcast, by the way, where we just talk about how amazing this technology
that no one's using ever.
We have more listeners than have ever attended a ScreenX screening of any movie.
I mean, I tried to talk my wife into going to another movie in ScreenX, and she's like, it costs more money to go. And it's not like it costs $30 more.
An upgrade.
It's like $3.
And you don't even have to put any dumb glasses on or anything. You just go and enjoy it.
Yeah, we should take another field trip to go watch something.
Yeah. Well, now I'm mad because I just looked up with IMAX to see if Oppenheimer is back in there because he was talking about it. And they played Interstellar down there at Udvar Hazy today. I would have gone to see that. Probably not. But I would have wanted to.
Would you call out sick? Would you call out Interstellar?
Believe me. I'm off tomorrow. I looked to see if it was playing again tomorrow. It is not.
What's playing tomorrow?
The Aquaman. Not worth the trip.
Not seeing the sequel to Aquaman. Gonna say it's a downgrade from Interstellar. Just guessing. Whose turn is it for an award? It's E's turn, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I will give one out. I have an award for the best John Wick movie of 2023.
Yeah.
It is a movie called Sisu.
Do you really believe that he's immortal?
No. He just refuses to die.
Which is very much like a John Wick movie. And I saw them kind of close to each other. And I gotta say, I feel like Sisu did it better. It was all killer, all thriller, no filler. It accomplishes much of the same. There's even a dog in it. And basically, it's about this dude who gets fucked with. And then it turns out they fucked with the wrong guy. And then they find out. It's very much like John Wick. Great action, looks incredible. I don't think enough people saw it. I think a lot of people didn't see it because they thought that it was a foreign film and it was going to be subtitled. Now, it is a foreign film, but they did us the favor of just having everybody speak English, and it was great. And also, I mean, the main character barely talks.
Yeah, just murdering people.
Yeah, and it's a really, really fun time. It was one of the best times I had in the theater this year. I also really enjoyed John Wick 4 because this one was novel, really just shorter and just gets to it and like never lets up. It was, I felt like it was an even better John Wick than John Wick this year. But yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, check it out. Go check out Sisu.
All right. Well, for my next award, only one movie made me cry all year long.
Superstore.
Ryan, Superstore hasn't become a movie yet.
Yet.
Yeah. I don't know what story they would tell in theater. But no, it's a Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which made me sob.
Because you're soft! In here! Here! Right here!
Pretty much from start to finish. Great film. Great send-off for the characters. And, I mean, most of the characters. Apparently Star-Lord's coming back in some form.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list, too.
Movie. Yeah.
It's on there. I thought that was good, especially for Marvel this year.
Definitely on my list, too. Definitely had the same type of reaction to it. I think it might have hit me harder, though, because I saw it in Screen X. And
do you work for Screen X? Surrounded.
Man... The timing just worked out. There wasn't that much that came to theaters this year, so it was evenly paced out. You know, we'd be like, oh my god, something's finally in theaters. We'd take the whole trip, we'd all go. So I did see it
See Guardians in the ScreenX theater, just not in that room. I saw it in a different theater, in a different screening room.
You didn't want to put the money into it.
I think
didn't we discover that we were there on the same day.
He was watching upstairs in one theater, and I was in the next
one.
We
probably walked past each other, but we didn't recognize each other because there were too many tears in our eyes.
Yeah.
So many.
I haven't watched it again because I don't know if I can cry that much again. I'm almost afraid. It's great. Right. Go for your next award.
Well, I mean, I have to give an award to the best Southwest Wi-Fi director's cut movie I saw this year, which was John Wick 4, famously, where the Wi-Fi skipped out and I watched the first 5 minutes and then the last 10 minutes and it seemed like the movie seemed together fine and was very confused when credits rolled. It was like the Quibi version of John Wick 4. And, you know, I said saw the movie. It's a very good movie, but I was very baffled and confused for a few minutes till I figured out what had happened. But have to give that.
That is a movie you could cut up Quibi style and just do in 15-minute anchor. Like, you have the highway fight scene. That's just one movie, and you're like, this is great. It's awesome. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it did not seem.
Is almost a whole movie.
I was never like. An arc. Yeah. This is wrong. It never felt wrong until the credits rolled. And then I was like, is this like a one cut of the dead type thing? Or, you know, like, it just didn't make any sense why the credits were rolling. And then I tapped the progress bar and I was like, shit. You know, I had to figure it out. And then go back. It was a jump. But, you know, I've told the story before, but it's that award.
I have watched
sequences of that movie many times this year since it's been available to own. I haven't watched the whole movie in one sitting, but I have watched a bunch of the different sections. I think the movie works really well that way.
Rob, your turn.
All right, I've got, best 6'5" actor playing a high school girl. And that'll go to Freaky with Vince Vaughn. Mm.
Motorboat, you play the motorboat? You motorboat, son of a bitch, you old sailor, you.
I've wanted to see that. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's a good time.
It's like a body swap, right?
But done horror style.
Killer.
Yeah.
Like a girl's swaps with the serial killer, and so the girl starts murdering everybody.
Yeah, I heard talk that they were going to try and turn it into a franchise. Have you seen anything about that? Is there more coming?
I have not. I have not heard anything about it.
That was like a surprise hit, and
yeah,
it did look very cool. I have not had a chance to see it yet either.
It's a fun time. It's fun.
It looks good. And I like Vince Vaughn. So.
Oh, yeah, Vince Vaughn's very fun.
Yeah.
I have another GB to give out, and this is for the worst John Wick of 2023, and it's to Michael Fassbender as the killer in the David Fincher movie, The Killer.
Stick to your plan. Anticipate. Don't improvise.
I'm a big David Fincher fan. I really enjoyed this movie. I didn't really know what to expect, and I didn't know it's exactly what I wanted, because after this year of watching Tom Cruise being unstoppable as Ethan Hunt, after watching John Wick being a perfect shot and unstoppable, after watching Sisu doing a John Wick impression and being a one-man army, I didn't realize that I wanted to see one where it was a little bit more about like a realistic version. Realistic is not necessarily the right word. It's just he's not completely infallible. And the movie's about a hitman, and he just consistently fucks up. Nothing really works out exactly.
Stick to the plan.
Exactly goes the right way.
Don't deviate.
He has all of these rules and this voiceover, and then he doesn't follow his own rules. It's got a great look. It's immaculately shot. Really well acted. Really cool, interesting characters. Great score. This time again, as I was mentioning, from Ninja Turtles. The score from Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. And then the soundtrack, which is 100% Smith songs. A real weird juxtaposition. Very interesting one.
It sets up a good vibe.
Definitely not for everyone. But after watching so many heroes being unstoppable and invincible, it was a nice change of pace. And I really liked it.
On this podcast, I've talked about a video game called Hitman and how they've done two shitty movies. This is the closest version to a Hitman video movie.
He fucks up
just like you do in the Hitman video. Like, it's great. I actually had it for an award here that I just didn't say. Finally, the Hitman adaptation I deserve was put out as The Killer on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Check it out. Exclusive. It was part of David Fincher's production deal with Netflix. So check it out.
Well, now let's get to our favorite episodes of this past year.
Absolutely.
I want to give one more.
I just want to give. It's a book based on a movie. It's just for my love of Airplane. They put out a book this year called Surely You Can't Be Serious, which is like the telling of the creating of Airplane.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
It is an amazing book. So if you're looking for a book about a movie and you like Airplane, you will laugh out loud reading it. Just wanted to throw an award for the best book about a movie
Do they have an audio version of that?
I don't know. But I'm telling you, it would be interesting if they did, because there's so many people that are quoted. I don't know how they do. It's basically just people recollecting, and even like celebrities coming in talking about the first time they saw Airplane and stuff. So it'd be a weird audiobook to try to do without getting 18 billion people to lend their voice. But if they did, it would be amazing, right? Like, you know, so, but I haven't looked for an audiobook, but the physical one was laugh out loud funny. But just wanted to throw that out there. We can go to our best of episode, but check out the book.
All right. So now let's get to favorite episode. Now, this could either be the favorite episode you had doing with us, or your favorite movie rewatch. Mm-hmm. Mine is so easy, because I think I told you guys I watched it like 6 times that week before doing it. And I've watched it since then. It's not like I haven't put it down. I've watched it at least 2 more times. It's The Blood of Heroes. I can't stop watching The Blood of Heroes or Salute of the Jugger, because the Juggers are coming. It's great. It's a perfect movie.
100 stars! 3 times!
How many Jugger leagues have you signed up for?
0, because I don't want to hurt myself. But yard jugging is a thing. And
yeah, that's still on the table.
Wait till springtime when those yard sale signs come out. I'm going to F somebody up with a chain.
You know, I don't think that any other movie that we've done this year has affected me quite as much as that as well, because I watched it with Mrs. Producer, and we reference it now.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time watching it for her, and it had been decades since I had seen it. But that episode really revived my love of jugging. And yes, we do actually, it comes up in conversation now. We actually do say the juggers are coming at a pretty regular clip these days.
Nice. See? Koji, always giving back. All right, Ryan, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm going to go with I want to list a few movies that are ones that this season really surprised. I mean, you weren't bringing your usual bag list to this season. There were a lot of movies which I had never seen, and some which I think you hadn't seen that sort of came to light and were enjoyable movies that it was kind of tough.
Are you saying my movies aren't enjoyable?
I didn't necessarily say that.
That's how it came across. Here's an award.
Listen, Undefeated Champ, did you bring us Sorcerer? Was that one that you brought us?
That was not. Yes. That was a
did
great
you
film,
bring
though.
Us The Juggers? That was not you. Oh, that was you? All right, I'll give you the juggers. Because
1,000,000% me.
I didn't think that was you. I thought that was Rob.
I don't know if that's going to be a good episode. And I said, don't worry about it.
That's why I thought that was Rob. You didn't bring us Annihilation. I believe that was Rob.
That's Rob's right? Nick.
Mm-hmm. That was another one. Ravenous might have been you.
That was me.
And then The Gray, I believe, was E.
That was E, yeah.
All of these movies were in my running for greatest because I was so surprised by how much I liked all of them. You could even throw in there a little bit of like Ex Machina, but I kind of knew what I was getting into a little bit more with that one, so it wasn't so much as a surprise, even though I liked that one a lot. I mean, it's a pretty good list we put out. You guys should all check out our back catalog. There's a lot of good stuff we watched that's maybe not the
excellent movies this year.
It started with a movie with a mostly blind guy. There's some with terrible names that were mismarketed, like Sorcerer and Live, Die, Repeat / Die Another. I mean, there's a lot of
boom,
stuff.
Boom, boom, truck.
Yeah, the boom, boom truck. And with that, because of those movies that we picked, and you know, some of you have picked other ones, so I don't want to pick the same because they're all kind of on the same level. I think I'm going to go with Boom Boom Truck. Click, click, Sorcerer, I think that one is was very surprised. I thought that one wasn't high on Rob's list when we watched it. I believe he gave that one a B if we go back and watch it. But
he most certainly
really liked
did.
That movie. But I could throw Ravenous in there too, even though a lot of people wouldn't call that. I just enjoyed watching that movie and the different angles of it. So it's a harder decision this year than I thought it was going to be. There was a lot of, it was a pretty, you know, photo finish for a lot of these movies for what
good
I saw.
Good problem to have.
Yeah.
Rob. All right. So I'm going to echo a lot of the same points that Ryan was just talking about. I was going through our catalog and I was saying, man, we watched a lot of good stuff. So I had a trouble narrowing it down to just one. So I went through the list and I finally just decided, okay, I'm going to pick one that wasn't necessarily a rewatch for me. Most of them I had seen before going in, but in this one I hadn't, and I'm going to pick Upgrade.
You now have full control again, Gray.
I thought that was a good episode.
Also another
it was
one.
A really fun
I
movie.
Could have easily you know? Thrown in there. You're
yeah.
right. Yes.
You know, it was a good time. Yes. I mean, not enough people saw that. People need to watch that.
That was really a great awesome movie fun. And a great episode. Yeah. That was a good chat. That was a good time talking about that one. That was even a good one editing. That was a great episode. I'm going to throw one out there. I'm going to give a Sirius COISG endorsement to our episode for The Grey and give it an award for the closest brush with fame.
Once more into the fray.
It was a good episode. Great movie. We all enjoyed it. I remember we were talking about a little fan theory that we had come up with. And then, you know, we just happened to, you know, reach out to director Joe Carnahan. We've chitted the chat, so I call him Joe now.
Yeah.
And Joe. He responded.
As friends do.
He responded to the show and all of that, and I thought that was very, very cool of him to do. So that was a very interesting time. It was cool to get a little bit of validation on our fan theory, and I think that was a great episode. So definitely check out the show notes. I'm sure we'll have a link to the Underworld episode from Ryan and to The Grey. And I thought that was a highlight from this year. And, of course, the movie also got a triple stamp. So good time all around.
Good movie.
All right. I think that's it. I think we're at the end of the award show. It's the music's playing.
Yeah, we're getting played off the stage. We're getting played off.
We go way too long.
Roll credits. The good guys win.
Sequels are made. Make sure to stay until after the credits for a bonus scene and check out the show notes for links, trailers, and clips about all our favorites from 2023. Rob, where can the good people find us?
We are COISG Pod on Instagram, Gmail, and the internet at large. Download our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere Spotify can be found. If you have any movies you'd like us to enhance, reach out and touch us. Frequencies are.
You're right there. You got touched, didn't you?
Yeah, got me.
A little tickle.
I want to thank my brothers Rob and Ryan and our producer E. Special thanks to our social media team and all of our supporters. Thank you, good people, for listening, liking, subscribing, and reviewing. You guys are the best. Remember to check out the best of 2023 reels from each of the good guys and share some of your favorites while you're at it. It's all for the greater good.
The greater good.
The good guys is your undefeated champion Reagan. And as we always say on the COISG, 70,000? Hell, my suits are worth more than that.
My boat.
He was licking
these nuts. Got him.